Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabbat's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is May 16th, 2023. Tonight's episode is called Jordan Neely and a Coward. We'll be having an open mic discussion on the homeless black man, Jordan Neely, who was murdered by a white supremacist coward by the name of Daniel Penny on a New York City subway. Daniel Penny has finally been charged with a crime after pressure from black New Yorkers and the new black media. Alvin Bragg, DA of New York City, has charged him with second-degree manslaughter. Daniel Penny has set up a legal defense fund, which has raised over $1.4 million and counting, and the white-owned media is praising him as a hero. So please give us a call in with your questions, comments, and concerns. The caller's number is 516-418-5996.
Hello? Shabaka.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well,
Shabaka was a fellow. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes, sir. Okay, yeah, I'm back, gentlemen. I was just getting an update, man, on the NBA Western Conference Championships. Loved one just told me is that the Lakers are going to get hit with a broom and that the Denver Nuggets are going to win the Western Conference Championships.
I could have told you that.
The Nuggets.
I told you that, Shabaka. I've been saying that. Y'all been counting us out since day one. I've been saying the Nuggets is going to go all the way to the finals.
The Nuggets.
Yep, that's what I think too, Romeo.
And the Celtics
don't
win, though. I'm sorry, bro.
I don't care who Boston is playing. I will never go for Boston, okay?
Why
I will
not,
never
man?
Go.
My cousin,
and I will never go for the Lakers. I will never go for the Lakers or Boston. Those two teams I will never
so
go
you're going for.
For
the Nuggets?
Of course.
I'm going for the Green Machine. Let's put some pushers on there.
Oh, man, the Green Machine. Well, they did have Bill Russell, who was one of the greatest centers that the NBA game has ever seen, you know.
Yeah, and they have that white boy, too, that they always talk about. What is that, Larry Bird.
Yeah, and then they used to have Kevin McHale. Then they had Robert Parrish, 00. I remember him. And
let's not get sidetracked. You were doing the intro. You were just getting to the
yes,
part.
Sir.
Please call in with your questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please call in at 516-418-5996. Press 1 and you'll be live on there. Now, please make sure to add 516-418-5996 to your call plan on your cell phone so you will not be charged for the call, okay? And they just started that nonsense, you know what I'm saying? But however they shadow banned us is because we speak the truth. You see what I mean?
Right.
And they don't like the truth, so therefore, you know, they're going to throw every type of hurdle, monkey wrench, iron pipe, nails all in the road, you know, so we don't get this word out. Now, the coward that murdered Mr. Neely is a punk by the name of Daniel Penny, okay?
Yes.
And from what I understand is that
he
was a...
He has a white supremacist. He was a former Marine. I don't even know if he served did any deployment, but he was a former Marine, and they're parading this crap
mm-hmm.
around like he's a goddamn hero. And it was
okay.
just like media that applied to pressure, and of course, black New Yorkers, because I have a lot of family that's in New York, applied to pressure and got this bastard charged with something. But Alvin Bragg is dragging
okay.
his feet, and he should have charged him with first-degree murder, period, point blank, period.
Yeah,
Alvin Bragg,
manslaughter, even if he gets charged, that ain't nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
it's the conviction. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. He needs to get convicted of first-degree murder and go to prison or the death penalty.
Yeah.
I don't think they have death penalty
yeah.
in New York anymore. They still have the death penalty in New
okay,
York.
Okay, I know New York used to have the electric chair. I know that.
Yeah, they outlawed that, though. I don't think they still have the electric chair. I could be wrong. But
oh, okay. Well, regardless, though.
Got rid of the electric chair.
Okay.
Now they do lethal injection like California.
Right, and then they had a moratorium put on lethal injection in California, and I think Gruesome Newsom is revisiting it, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, in California, the last person executed in California, I believe it was...
Uh-oh, you're breaking up, Shabaka. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
We lost you for a second.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think it was Stanley Tookie Williams under the Terminator.
The
Terminator could have got him off the hook.
Yeah. The Terminator also could have gave him life without. You see what I'm saying? But the Terminator went ahead and gave the okay to execute him. So that there just goes to show you how Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, feels and what have you. And
he's a stone cold white supremacist. He's up there with the John Waynes and the George Wallace's segregation today.
Stallone. Yeah.
Yep. That motherfucker that just got off Alec Baldwin. name it. We could be here all night naming white supremacists. But
Sir.
This bastard they're trying to parade him as a hero, like it did Zimmerman and Derek Wilson and all these other vigilantes
and
Dylann Roof too. Yeah, they gave him Burger King.
Shittenhouse.
Yeah, they're rewarding them for killing us.
Oh yes, sir. Okay, it's because they got a bounty on black males.
I'm glad you brought up Shittenhouse, Shabaka. This is the Shittenhouse effect. He's not raising
money.
He's not raising all that money for legal defense. He's raising all that money so he can go on a media tour like Shittenhouse did.
Exactly. You see, and like Zimmerman did, you know, as well, too.
And Derek Wilson.
Okay, now one thing I will say, okay, is that when Darren Wilson, you know, got off, okay, had went over to San Francisco, you know, when I was in Panther Town at the time, and I saw this white guy up there that says, you know, charge and arrest Darren Wilson, okay, and I'd asked him, you know, I says, well, man, you know, why are you doing this, you know? And then he says, well, because it was wrong, number one, and plus that, you know, what you all have been through, you know, through the 60s and all over again, you know. And basically, I think what the guy was trying to interpret is that they don't want us getting upset, you know, like what happened within Ferguson. You see what I mean? But to quote your poster, Brother Che, there's a new movie called Coons, you know, coming out, starring the majority of these names. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and starting with your black politicians
They're worthless. Did you hear what Clyburn said about reparations? To hell with Clyburn. To hell with the congressional black talkers, the black caucus.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? You know, and that's the sad part about it.
They don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They don't do nothing tangible for
us. Exactly.
And all you down black Denverites, don't complain now. I don't want to hear no complaints from none of y'all mugs. When either one of these white supremacists become the next mayor and don't do nothing for your black ass.
Back in the days, they used to call them Oreos, brother.
Yes, sir. And the same thing with the mayor of Los Angeles, too, Karen Bass. And I noticed that she ain't said nothing about it as well, too. Because of Los Angeles.
She's just leaving off where Garcetti left off. Still sweeping on house people. Still doing for everybody but black people.
Right. Exactly. You see, and then too, and this is why I like crumb bumming on the idiot Larry Elders, you know, who is from there. And then keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that Larry Elder is not from South Central Los Angeles. He's from the Crenshaw District, which is way west of it. Okay, you know, I just want to put that out there. So you know, and if you see Yeah, and then from what I understand is that he's trying to get off into the presidential race as well, too.
Who? Yeah, I think he already.
Larry Elders.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's sad.
He's an Oreo, right?
No, no, Larry Elder's man, you know, it's quite a piece of work, I tell you that much, you know what I'm saying?
He's
quite a piece of work. Yeah.
Get back to my man's real quick, Jim, if I could. My man said was imitating Michael Jackson. I don't remember what his name is.
Okay, his name was Jordan Neely.
I feel so bad for that brother. I've seen that brother on TV. He looked like Michael Jackson off the Thriller video.
That's what he was imitating.
Lady Tay said it was like Michael Jackson was getting killed all over again, right before our very eyes.
Yeah. And keep in mind that the album Thriller is still a number one bestseller 40 years later.
Probably why he felt like he had to kill because he reminded him of Michael Jackson. All them people hated Michael Jackson.
Of course. Michael Jackson had ownership. Michael Jackson owned
exactly. Yeah, the song books.
Not only was he talented, very talented, one of the best, if not the best, to do it.
He was an activist, bro. At the end, he became a Muslim.
Was that right?
Well, he had remember in Bat in that and I think it was Smooth Criminal. He had the Lopes in the video. He had Crips in the video. He was throwing up these and everything.
Oh, you talking about Beat It?
Yeah, and Beat It. He had the Lopes in that. I think it was the Rolling 60s, but
yeah, you went and got real Crips and Bloods for that.
And
just to show and prove that he was on time and he was trying to stick to the code at least was that video where he's with the Egyptian comedic.
Do you remember the time? That was 1993.
That was the most accurate.
Yeah, with the Imam
of the Kemites
and Eddie Murphy.
Man, let's just hold a moment of silence for Jordan Neely and Michael Jackson real quick, man, please.
Sure.
In memory.
Yes, moment of silence for both of them, yes.
There you go. That's peace, man.
Yep. Moment of silence.
Rest in power.
Always.
Remember imperfection.
Yep.
And then also
that killed him all over again. And like I said, this motherfucker raised over $1 million.
You all right, brother?
It's just the weed.
It's
the chronic. It's just the weed. That's the chronic call.
It's the chronic.
Make my shit chronic.
Right. I got to get fucked up. Yeah, so,
That's the law around here. You got to wear your sunglasses.
Getting back to this penny punk ass.
He
raised over $1 million.
Right.
It's famous celebrity that's donating to his damn campaign, brother by the name of Torian Rain Reloaded, did a whole video about it. And Philip Scott for the African Diaspora News Network. There's all kinds of Kid Rock donated to him. The Panties donated to him. I wouldn't be surprised if I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Adams donated to him.
That would not surprise me in the least. Okay, and what we have to look at here, two black families, same problem we have with Uncle Tom Bradley in Los Angeles, same problem we got with Karen Bat. Let me see. Hancoon in Denver. Okay, President Obama.
From New York.
That's Eric Adams.
Yeah, Eric Adams. Okay. And then on top of it as well, too, is as Professor Black Truth had stated, is that we got to be putting ourselves off in a mode to defend ourselves. Okay. It's because I'm thinking about, you know, in my youth, you know, of all those brothers who made the ultimate sacrifice, both
right.
in the civil rights movement and in the black empowerment era. Okay, now how are those deceased ones who have transitioned or feel about an old, ugly-ass white man talking about that he was exercised his Second Amendment right to go into a woman's restroom because he's a transgender, okay? Well, first place, I have come to the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, with me being an old bastard, you know what I'm saying, that we don't have no choice now, okay? We got to put ourselves off in the self-defense mode because they're killing us. They are assassinating us. And this is what Diamond Reynolds said is when Mr. Castile was murdered, you know, in her presence, and the sister had the courage to record that, is that police officer, Yanez, I think what his name was, who shot
yeah,
and killed this man.
Philando Castile.
Yeah,
one of my
yeah,
friends,
exactly.
I remember, that was his cousin.
Oh, man. Well, most definitely our condolences to
you
him.
You remember Chris Yamada Shabaka? Ramel,
yeah.
You might remember him, too.
Yeah,
that was his
cousin. Okay, well, condolences to
that
the family.
Cousin.
Yes, they have the same last name. That was his cousin.
Wow. Damn.
And I have another ancestor. one of my grandma's baby sisters died.
Rest in peace. Rest in power.
Yeah, condolences to you, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
condolences to you.
She was in our apartment for like a week, and the last time I had talked to my second cousin Crystal, she was on the phone with Crystal on the Facebook Messenger video call.
Right.
And that was the last time I got to
okay.
see her. And she was just asking me when I was gonna come out to New York, and I'm like, I ain't been to New
right.
York in like 20 years. Over 20 years.
Okay, I've never seen New York City. I've been no further east than Gary.
We all gonna go up there. Fuck that shit.
You ain't missing nothing. They call that mug the rotten apple for a reason.
Yeah. I can understand it. You know what I'm saying? I can understand
that,
it.
That was not.
And,
I mean, it's a nice
like,
place to visit, but I ain't trying to live there.
Right.
Hell no.
Right.
It's a black Mecca, though, man. It's a lot of culture there, man.
Not so
yeah.
much now. I mean, it's not as Mecca'd up as it was. I mean, they're allowing all kinds of illegal immigrants into New York. They flooding them by the busload to New York, Philly. All the black cities, eastward and southward, is being overtaken.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Denver, we got a straight-up invasion going on. We done have, like, tens of thousands of them moved here since freaking December of last year. The city done already spent like $17 million to house, clothe, and feed
mm-hmm.
these mugs, and they can't house, clothe,
yeah.
and feed the actual citizens that have been suffering on the streets
right.
of Denver for decades. They take precedence
and
priority over them. That is injustice.
Yeah,
but we're wrong if we call it out. Oh, you sound like Trump. Well, Trump was right about that. A broken clock is right twice a day. He was right about that.
Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of it as well, too, you see, is that they want to keep us so divided amongst ourselves that we don't focus on the external threat. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, smoke and mirrors, brother. Smoke and mirrors.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Y'all remember?
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all remember when y'all would throw up a black fist and another black person would throw one back up?
Yes, sir.
Them days
Those days are gone.
That means right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on, brother. Solid.
Yeah.
Black power.
Yeah.
Not to them days are long over. Moses, look at you like they'll throw up they set before they throw up a goddamn black fist.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they will.
They throw a game sign at me. I throw the black fist out on them. Boom.
Yeah, and you see, and then two is that you got to understand, man, is that Chicago, New York always had that, right?
Oh, Chicago, okay. Chewbacca, they taking over Chicago. And they taking over Chicago so bad, the South Side is like, look, we ain't putting up with this. Y'all gonna have to do something about this.
Okay.
I mean, they are shipping all the so-called sanctuary cities, like Denver's a sanctuary city, Chicago's a sanctuary city, New York is a sanctuary city, San Francisco is a sanctuary city, Los Angeles, California is a sanctuary city. I don't know.
You just know all those offhand, brother.
You know, Vegas is a sanctuary city. I think Phoenix is. I think Phoenix is.
No. I think Phoenix is because, see, all Arizona outside of Phoenix is Republican, and all of Nevada outside of Clark County, man, is all Republican.
Yep.
That's much I remember, because as I'm doing research out here. And then
actually driving out there, Chewbacca, I can attest to that. I haven't been to Phoenix, but I've been to Nevada, and that shit outside of Clark County, you ain't lying.
I've been to New Mexico.
Red. It is clumped up. Oh, New Mexico, they just had a mass in Farmington.
Virginia?
No, Farmington, New Mexico. Damn, this storm, this is some crazy
Farmington, shit. New Mexico.
Yeah, it's coming
quick
down outside.
Kind of like
Off topic.
Go ahead.
Have y'all been having like a moth invasion up there, man?
Having a what?
Moth invasion. Because over here, down in Pueblo, man.
I've barely seen moths. I've only seen like maybe one or two
moths.
Man,
I'm talking about swamps. We're swamped over here, bro.
Nah, I ain't having that up here. No, it ain't like that up here. I barely see moths. You know, you see moths flickering by the lights and shit. I rarely see that shit now. I'm like, what the fuck
man,
is going
over here,
on?
Man, it's an invasion, bro, for the last 2 weeks.
Okay, well, let's stay on focus, gentlemen, you know,
Getting back to this clown, Kenny. So, I left off by naming some of the people that donated to his campaign. Donated to his GoFundMe or legal fund. It's all kinds of big name celebrities, like I named a few, and it's these white evangelical groups.
Okay. That are donating to him.
They're taking him as a hero. They said he did a valiant effort. They were saying, oh, thank you. Oh, Lord, here goes Sarge. Sarge is in the chat. Sarge is in the chat.
Is the chat room open?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell Sarge to call in, man. Let's have him for breakfast. Yeah, let him in. Let's get ready to rumble. Yeah, we're getting ready to smash Sarge.
I would be surprised if he wasn't on Penny's side.
Oh, yeah. I'm willing to bet dollars. Yeah, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts, you know, that Sarge is going to be on Penny's side. Now, the cold part about it is reading this over again for three times, you know, for the preparation of this episode, is that there is witnesses that saying is that Mr. Neely has just said that he's hungry. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't threatening nobody, that he needs water. Plus that Mr. Penny, you know, had been through a traumatic experience because his mother was a murder victim. Okay?
When she was found,
he was only 30 years old.
Suitcase.
Oh, man. Now, here's one for you folks. You're going to love this one. Okay, I saw on Tweety Bird, Stinky Bird, Musky Bird, of an Asian woman on public transit, screaming to the top of her lungs, talking about you effing niggers. Niggers this, niggers that, niggers. Okay, and so I'm reaching out to the... Yeah, she was on the subway. Okay, and then I saw a couple of people who had responded to the tweet by putting their fist, you know, both left fists, by the way, in between the pieces of bread, says she's in need of a knuckle sandwich. And I simply stated is that, you know, pump the jab three times, use the right cross, the left hook, the right uppercut, the left hook and overhand right, and sting her like a bee. And I do believe that there was the sting like a bee combination from the ancestor Muhammad Ali. Okay, and as Professor Black Truth has stated too, Brother Parrish, you know, when we did StreamYard and we was joined by Jay Dizzle as well too in the chat room, and a shout out to them, shout out to Outlaw Radio as well too, is that we got to draw the line somewhere, because you see, the generations after me, okay, you see what I'm saying? You guys have been dumbed down, man. Not saying that you all are dumb. You all are very far from dumb. But what the media has done has dumbed it down. And this is why they would project all these negative images of us as a people in Hollywood. And you and I, Brother Parrish, has stated as... Okay, yeah, he's got his hand up. Okay, okay, hold on, Sarge. We see you, Sarge, and believe me, we're going to get you in this one. Just stand by. And while you're at it, Sarge, call up Joe Wilson, too, and have him join us. Oh, yeah, because we in here with attitude tonight, Sarge, okay, is because that there was on the call for have what happened on that transit system, that there was murder. And keep in mind is that with the coward's name, yeah, and what's the coward's name, Kenny, that he had an accomplice as well, too, who was preventing Mr. Neely from removing, you know, the chokehold that was applied on him, you see. And what somebody should have done with Penny, he should have went up there, man, bashed him in the head, stomped a mud hole into him, is because, you know, you're an act of committing murder. This man, you know, and I think that he only had weighed, man, like about...
Somebody should have stumped out what the hell is the goddamn name? The one that killed George Floyd.
Penny.
They should have stumped his? No, not Penny.
You talking about Chauvin.
Chauvin.
You know what I'm saying?
Somebody should have stumped him. Chauvin,
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And what have you. And I'm typing here in the chat room.
Then why aren't they standing up against the bad cops? Why aren't they intervening when a fellow officer does something in the wrong?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, it's called
conspiracy. They're making him, he's the honorary hero of New York now in the white supremacy eyes.
Oh, yes, sir. That's exactly what it is. You see what I'm saying? And then I got loved ones in my family, man, you know what I'm saying, that I worry about. You see what I mean?
We all do.
You know,
we all do. Shabaka, I got family in New York. That could have been any of my family.
Yes. And, you know, and I got a loved one who moved recently there to the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of it, too, I did put it in there in the chat room to Sarge. Have Joe Gibson give us a call. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get ready to rumble in this corner from the East Coast, the one and only Sarge. Your mic is on mute, Sarge. Let's hear it.
Man, you must have been born with a veil. Hey, look here. Look. Now, you know, this is your show, and I respect your right to run it any way you wish. However...
Okay.
Failing that, I just like to note that last time I was calling the show, you put me in timeout for an extended period. I mean, I was like put in exile.
Yeah,
I was on strong lockdown.
It's
going to be that way again today.
Trying to come at us.
No, Sarge. And I'm going to tell you right now, Sarge, you're going to be in a triangular crossfire, man, after we're done with you today. Now, let me
I got no problem with that.
What?
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, okay.
Look here. Now, I may not be 180 degrees diametrically opposed to your position, but I'm at least 178 degrees opposite to your position. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't think that way about Daniel Penny at all. And I'm telling you why.
He's a coward, Sarge.
I'm telling you why. Because I'm looking at the definition of coward. Coward is a person who lacks the courage to do or to endure dangerous or unpleasant things. Cowardice itself is a trait where fear prevents an individual from taking a risk or facing danger. It's the opposite of courage. Mm-hmm. Now, whatever you might want to say about Daniel Pennick, his actions, whether right or wrong, indicate precisely the opposite. Whatever failings he may have, I do not think cowardice is one of them, especially when you consider this man is not just a rep Marine. He ain't a rear echelon mother. You know what? He is a combat Marine. He's got combat action ribbon. He's done 2 deployments overseas in Iraq. I don't believe he's a coward. Might be. How do I know? I don't know the guy. I doubt it. And especially given the fact that he was the only one. Because, look, if I got a cousin of mine who I love very much. He lives in New York.
Yeah.
And regularly rides the subway. And I regularly communicate with her. And she tells me about the lunatics, madmen, and psychotics who prowl the tube in the subway. Let me say this now. I'm almost finished. I want someone, I don't care what their color is, who is willing to step up and take on someone who, by every accounting I've read of as I studied this case, says that man presented an imminent threat. Which most of the other passengers in the car agreed with. And came up to Mr. Penny and said they agreed with his action.
He didn't put his hands on nobody, Sarge. How was he an
imminent
threat?
I understand that, sir. That doesn't mean he wasn't an imminent threat. That does not mean he wasn't an imminent threat.
Okay, Sarge.
You
have
to put
hands
on anybody to be an imminent threat. You do not have to. You do not have to. That's not true. Not true.
How was he an imminent threat, Sarge?
Okay, Sarge. That man was no threat. That man was simply hungry, and he was dehydrated. And if anybody knows, on an empty stomach, you may act a little bit irrational, but he didn't throw nothing at nobody. He didn't attempt to attack anybody in the manner that he was attacked. Plus, Penny's co-conspirator was also helped murder him because he was trying to hold his arms away from him, trying to break the coward's hold. Okay, so hopefully, I hope the coward goes into Rikers Island. I hope he gets passed around. I hope he gets battered. I hope he gets his brains beat out. There is no wrong they could do to that coward. I just had to get that in there, Sarge, because you're quite a challenge. Okay, Sarge, your mic is unmuted. Let's hear your rebuttal, Sarge.
Okay. All right, let's look at what the law says an imminent threat is, because the law does not require that you put your hands on anyone, even throw a punch, in order to be an imminent threat. That's not true. Remember, I had to lock people up for this, and I had to be able to speak up if and when I was asked to testify in court what the imminent threat was for which I arrested the person.
An imminent threat.
All right? So you do not have to throw a punch or be considered an imminent threat. Every one of the actions that I read this man, and by the way, the system failed this man. He should not have been free in being the subway to terrorize those people. He should have been in a mental institution. He was clearly mentally unstable. He had broken the lower right orbital bone of a 67-year-old woman and broken her nose with a punch that knocked her unconscious. He was wanted on a warrant for doing that to a 67-year-old woman.
Sorry.
He should have been in a mental institution. The system failed him. Given the fact that the system failed him, and that the fact that the system, the citizen had to step up to fill the vacuum that the state and the city of New York failed to fill, then I say to you, it is a good thing that such citizens were there.
Sorry. You said the system, right? What system are you referring to?
Okay. The system is that part of the police power. And when I say police power, I don't necessarily mean people with guns and badges. The term police power means those powers of a governmental body, whether it be local, city, state, or national. The police power of a governmental body, to make and enforce regulations and laws that are essential to the health, safety, and welfare of its citizenry. That is the police power. The police power in New York is failing its people, to include Mr. Neely. He should have been in a mental institution. He should not have been free in the subway. Now, let me finish my case. Now, I know I make my case succinctly. Let me make my case now. You told me I can make it. I'm going to make it now.
Okay,
all right,
Sarge,
now listen up.
You got 30 seconds,
Given the fact that there is a vacuum created by the city of New York and the state of New York to not properly take care of Mr. Neely's need, clearly was a danger to himself and others, meaning he's probably mentally unstable, meaning he probably couldn't even been criminally charged with the offenses that he did do because he wasn't in sound mind. He was not capable of making a rational decision to even commit a crime because he's a nut. He should have been in a mental institution. That doesn't matter because a crazy person can kill you just as good as a completely mentally rational one. And you have an absolute inalienable right. I'm amazed that you as a Black Panther would believe anything else. And I said this on this show many times. A Black Panther has the right to defend himself, to include using deadly force against a police officer making an unlawful attack on that Black Panther. Haven't I said that to you? I cannot understand how you think this right does not apply to any person.
No, Sarge, you did. No, Sarge, I think I have to give you that. You did say that, Sarge.
Now, let me make the case. Now, I still ain't made the case yet.
Daniel Kenny wasn't a police officer, Sarge.
Exactly. You don't have to be a police officer. Look at the penal statute in New York. Section 35 does not require you be a police officer to act in self-defense of yourself. Listen to this now, and others. It specifically says in the law, and others, not just yourself. So you're allowed to come to the defense of others.
Bro, it's somebody who's actually being harmed. Sarge. Nobody was
See, that's it again. Imminent threat is the word, so you keep ignoring that. Imminent threat.
But he was not an imminent
threat.
He was not an imminent
threat. He doing an imminent threat. I mean, you should ask yourself that question, and I'm prepared to answer what his actions were that, to a reasonable person's standard, constituted an imminent threat.
What were his actions? What were his actions?
Okay, it was the action. By the riders on the subway platform. He threw his coat down. He made repeated statements to the effect that he was ready to die. He said he was going to kill three of the passengers, using those words explicitly. He was yelling and shouting. He was banging his fists against the side of the subway wall. He was approaching the students within their personal space area and yelling in their face. By every objective, reasonable man standard, he constituted an imminent threat.
Was he pushing people, Sarge? Did he lay any hands on
people? Yes, again, you're ignoring what I just said, and you're saying what I just said wasn't adequate for an imminent threat. The law does say it is.
It's a yes or no question.
I got a question for Sarge.
Was he putting his hands on anybody? Go ahead.
As far as I know, he hasn't gotten to that point yet. That's why they allow you to take an action that is imminent. Look up the meaning of the word imminent.
Okay, Sarge.
I just want to ask a question, Sarge.
All right. Well, we're not going to do
this. This Rommel, the anchorman. Okay, Sarge. Now, can you agree that he didn't need to cut off his air supply and could have just went for the jugular and knocked him out? And the man still be alive? That's my question to you, Sarge.
Okay. Has someone who has used a chokehold several times to incapacitate someone and didn't kill anybody, I understand the need for caution because that's the way we were trained. We were trained to use it in a manner that we wouldn't cause anyone permanent injury or death. Now, this is why due process is going to apply here. I hope to God it does, because due process means we will discover, according to medical examiners, the precise cause of death. He did not die in the subway. He died later in the hospital. He was breathing when he left the subway. Now, do I have any doubt? Wait, let me finish now. Do I have any doubt whatsoever?
Wait,
now let me finish this, man. I'm making my point.
Yeah, let him talk. Dude.
Do
let
I
him
have
talk.
Any
let
doubt
talk.
Whatsoever that the actions of Mr. Penny contributed to his death? Yes, I believe that they did. However, given what we know
no,
about
no
Mr. Neely.
There is no however.
Yes, there is a however.
No,
this is
no,
wrong
no,
now.
No, no,
he's going to be trying
no,
to say
no,
it wrong.
No, no, no.
There
no,
is
no.
a however.
No, you just said he did that. So he was guilty of killing him. Correct, Sarge? There is no however. That the fact remains.
There is a however. This is a legal matter now.
Okay,
there
so
is a
civil.
However, whether you or I like
so,
it or not.
So it's going to be civil and not criminal, is what you're saying.
No. He gets due process of law, which means he gets discovery, which means one of the first things his lawyer is going to ask for is a precise determination of the cause of death. That is critical
yeah,
in this case.
That's going to come from the attorney.
It is essential
Sarge.
For determining his guilt or innocence.
Hold on a second,
Sarge.
Sarge. Hold on, Sarge. Hold on. Okay. Okay. No, the method of death, man, was strangulation, man. That's what it
right.
was, Sarge. And I'm going to unmute you, Sarge. The method of death was strangulation. Now, I'm reading up here in this book right here about the police department. Well, wait a minute. Well, I don't lost my page now. But anyway, though, what that was wanton act of murder on the coward Penny's part. Now, with him being a combat veteran, okay, he could have simply went up there, put him in an arm lock if necessary. But what it was, that man was dehydrated, that man was hungry, and there's a definite connection between the mind and the stomach. That's why the Black Panthers used to feed breakfast programs for the little children on their way to school. And also, too, Mr. Neely was only 30 years old, plus he had been through a traumatized act. Plus, the coward had an accomplice who aided and abetted in the murder of Mr. Jordan, of Mr. Neely. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so we got to look at that part, Sarge. Now, I commend you, Sarge. You know your laws. I give it to you right. And keep in mind, Sarge, I've ridden the L trains in Chicago before, too. They're very, very scary. Also, too, I've ridden the Metro Rail in Los Angeles. It's very, very scary. I've also ridden the Bay Area Rapid Transit and passed the Fruitvale Station where Johannes Mercilli murdered Oscar Grant. That's very, very scary. So in my opinion, Sarge, is that this coward, this Marine Corps veteran, man, is a disgrace to the U.S. Marine Corps because they're supposed to be the most awesome, fearsome fighters. So it goes to show that Penny has some psychological issues, man, and he probably flashbacked, and Penny should be walking the concrete at Rikers Island and not in protective custody, once again, with general population, okay? And he should be facing the death penalty. But however, these Black politicians that you have, your Eric Adams, you know, Karen Basses, you know, the ass scratches, Yasa bosses, you know, them type of coons, you see, they're dangerous, okay? Just like that lieutenant governor of North Carolina. Okay, the ignorance and a wanton ignorance of Larry Holder and Leo Terrells. You see, they suffer from the syndrome, Sarge, of boss we sick. You don't have that syndrome, Sarge. I just had to get that off on there, Sarge. Now, Sarge, I'm unmuting your mic, Sarge. Now, go right ahead.
Now, you know, it's just amazing. 27 people have been murdered on the subways this year. 27. We don't know anything
which
about
city?
Any one of those people who weren't just accidentally murdered by a guy who might have mistakenly committed an act of self-defense in defense of himself and others. No, they were flat-out murdered. We don't know anything about them. This thing, though,
okay.
Because the Bolsheviks think this is something for cause celeb, they have elevated it to just that, to a rhubarb.
I see.
And we know what
okay,
time
now
it
let
is
me
with
ask
this.
You
this is not about whether
okay.
that man had the right to do what he did or not. We know it is. We know what this is. I do, and you do, too. So look, but
yeah,
be that
it,
as
it's
it may,
racism.
Wait a now.
It is,
be that as it may, the legal system is going to take its course, and we are going to find out things, in particular, A, the cause of death. Because remember, he did not die in the subway; he died at the hospital. Did what
no,
Mr. Penny
no,
did contribute to his death? I have no doubt that it did.
But as I say,
the cause of death,
Sarge. I don't think either you or I know that at present.
Okay, Sarge, let me tell you what I saw on that video. I looked at it five times. Mr. Neely was dead at the scene is because if you look closely, when he was turned over, he had defecated on himself, okay? Just like with George Floyd. When Derek Chauvin, you know, was putting his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck, Mr. Floyd was urinating on himself and probably defecated. And me and Mr. Parrish, Brother Che, we had looked at that video at least 25 times, didn't we, Brother Che? And we determined that Mr. Floyd had died right there at the 9 minute 5 seconds point when his body went totally limp. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and also too, in the great city of Los Angeles, Sarge, near, you know, LA's Metro Rail, about 8 years ago, on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, and look at my video, I passed right by it, the LAPD shot and killed a man, okay, on the corner saying that he had a knife, and they put 10 bullets in his head from a 9mm, okay, and that psychopath by the name of Daryl Gates, you know, who was the police chief, you know what I'm saying, he had called it rapid fire syndrome. Now, when you discharge a 9mm, man, to somebody's dome, man, you only need one. You get this sense of overkill. And I honestly believe that this coward Penny took great pleasure in killing this man. It's because you even got some, you got some psychopath, of which he is so crazy, man, is that they get sexual gratification of killing. And I think this is what happened with this coward Penny. And then keep in mind, he had three accomplices standing there. And what should have happened is that every black person in that subway car should have got up there and they should have pounded all three of them bastards to a pulp. Just like this Asian lady who gets on the subway using the NGR term. Nigga this, nigga that, nigga that. She wouldn't have said that bullshit on the subway in 1968 or 70, Sarge. You know that. You know that,
that
the damn sure wouldn't have said it on the south or west side of Chicago.
Somebody should have
Okay, Sarge, you fed it out.
Be restrained if they pose an imminent threat to themselves, I mean, to people on the subway. They shouldn't be restrained, but someone saying a word should get the death penalty.
Okay, but what I'm saying, though, is this, Sarge.
Chewbacca, we got a caller.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, from 707. Okay, yeah. Okay, just press 1 if you would like to be heard on the air, and we'll be happy to unmute your mic. Okay. I think I know who that is. Okay, but however, though, Sarge, that was cowardness of what they did to that man. Okay, that man didn't weigh no more than 130 pounds. Okay, he wasn't even 160, and this coward, you know, looked every bit to be tipping the scale, man, of about 178, man, and at least 6 feet tall. Okay, that's cowardness. I mean, the man said that he was hungry. He was dehydrated. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Jay, is that New York City is in a humid climate, is it not?
Yeah, because the water is proximity to water. I mean, it's five boroughs.
Right, and what happens is that when it's humid is that you're going to sweat excessively, okay? As even out here in the desert, you're going to sweat more in a humid climate than you will in a desert climate. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but to go up there to wantonly murder that man, and I think that Penny, you know, did this, Penny Skinny or whatever what this coward's name is, killed that man because he was black, killed that man because he was homeless, killed that man because he was down and out. That's what the real crime is right there. The man was making his money imitating Michael Jackson. I've ridden the Bay Area Rapid Transit many of times and seen the people come up there and dance up there on the park platform, on the train and what have you. I've given them a couple of dollars. You know what I'm saying? But that man posed no threat to nobody. Simply because he yelled and threw down his coat, and he did not do no type of physical altercation or any type of physical altercation.
I'm going to kill you. It's not an imminent threat, perhaps.
Yeah,
he was no imminent threat to nobody, Sarge. He was
no. See, here's the thing: what you're ignoring a lot of evidence here, a lot of it. And here's one of the evidence you're ignoring. When you talk about the Michael Jackson impersonation period, which from a period from 2010 to 2013, no one can speak of seeing him being a Michael Jackson impersonator after 2013. Because he was becoming increasingly more and more psychotic. He was becoming more and more psychotic.
Sarge, what's happening is, Sarge, let's be real, and if I call it there at the 707 area code, would like to speak and address this issue, sir, ma'am, please press 1 and we'd be more than happy to have you on the air. We got Sarge with us. Okay, Sarge is a former Illinois State Police officer, you know, who used to patrol the city of Chicago. We love Sarge. Sarge got issues. You're also joined, you know, with Brother Chan Krumah, you know, our co-host. And we also have the Anchorman here with us there, too, 707. So if you'd like to engage in the conversation, just simply press 1, sir, and we'd be happy to have you, you know. But however, though, Sarge, what it is, man, rather if it's San Francisco, rather if it's Chicago, rather if it's Philadelphia, where the one and only man Dr. D was from, may he rest in peace. And your mic is on mute, Sarge. And then I'm going to go on, Sarge, and let you continue to talk. Anchorman, you still with us? Okay, I think we lost the Anchorman. Yeah, I think we lost the Anchorman. Okay, Brother Paris. Okay, is this you and I and Sarge right here? And we do have a call out of 707, okay? And I think I might know who that is, but however, 707, if you'd like to engage in the conversation, just simply press 1, and we'd be more than happy to hear what you have to say. Now, the thing is, Sarge, okay, you know it was murder, man. I know it was murder. The witnesses who saw it there knew it was murder, and I appreciate the people who went down there on them subway tracks in the last few days, okay, standing by that third rail, preventing the New York subway from running. That took a lot of courage. It's the same thing with Kat Brooks did with the Golden Gate Bridge and what she did with the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge on two different occasions when Greg Sir, who was the chief of the San Francisco Police Department after they had a similar incident after Mario Woods was killed, and Miss Brooks just simply went up there to the San Francisco Police Commission and said, if you do not fire this SOB right now, today. And not only was she shut down the Bay Bridge, she was shut down the Golden Gate Bridge and the Bay Bridge at the same time. And guess what happens to Silicon Game Valley, folks? Guess what happens to Tweety Bird? Guess what happens to Frisco? It will starve. Okay, so the people there had exercised their right of, as you say, Sarge, since you love the U.S. Constitution, the right of assembly to petition the government for a redress of grievance. But however, with the ass scratcher that you have as the mayor right there, who is garbage, you know what I'm saying? And me personally, I think the broad that boom should have took him when he was a baby and threw him down the toilet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Eric Adams, I'm talking about you. Okay? You're a punk. All right? Because he does not have the intestinal fortitude to issue an executive order, hit that sucker with murder 1. No, I'm sorry, murder 2. Not, well, wait a minute. If he sat there and thought about it, man, say for about, 3 seconds, I think, you know, his actions there, then it can be murder 1, but it depends on the jurisdiction you're in. Now, Sarge there and Brother Paris, that's right up your alley right there, and you gentlemen enlighten me.
Yeah. Okay.
Who do you want to go first?
The law.
Okay, let's Sarge go first.
Go ahead, Sarge.
All right, in New York, the law of self-defense is governed by Penal Code Section 35. 35 gives a person the right to employ self-defense in defense of others against an imminent threat, imminent or actual threat. It's clear as a bell. You don't have to be a police officer. You're not restricted from any particular techniques other than those that are objectively reasonable in light of the circumstance. That man may have weighed 130 pounds. But he was heavy enough to, with a couple of months before, to break the skull of a 67-year-old woman and break her nose. Let me say it again. He broke her skull, her lower right orbital bone in her face and her nose. He broke it. That's why he's wanted on a warrant. Now, I know Mr. Penny didn't know that. I know Mr. Penny did not know that. But we know it. We know about his arrest record. We know what he was capable of. And we know the threat that the passengers described that he presented to them when he was in that subway. I don't think our problem today in New York City is a lack of men willing to come forward to defend others. It is too few. That is the problem. And I don't like the idea of making it less likely that other men will step up when the time is there for them to step up.
Step up and talk out of black.
Sarge. Okay, Sarge. Okay. That man wasn't even how tall was Mr. Neely?
I never knew there was a size mismatch exception in the law. I know of no such thing.
Okay, and he weighed 130 pounds, and then the coward Penny, I've seen this photograph, okay, we really should, if we have his address, you know, to put it out there on the air and
Long
social
Island.
Media.
He
lives in Long Island.
I don't know if it's a size mismatch exception in the law. I really don't.
Okay,
and I've seen a lot of little wiry men, and I could bench press 400 pounds when I was working on the job. A lot of little wiry men gave me a lot of trouble getting them in handcuffs.
Okay, but Sarge, if you bench pressing 400 pounds, Sarge, and I have no reason to doubt you, Sarge. Okay, it seems to me, Sarge, that you could knock somebody out, man, with a 6-inch punch if you bench pressing 400 pounds.
Okay.
You wouldn't need a nightstick, Sarge.
Okay.
You wouldn't need
all
a nightstick, Sarge. You wouldn't need your handcuffs. You wouldn't need your gun buckle.
Yeah, another call.
I'm trying to explain something to you. The fact that someone is small does not mean they are difficult. They aren't difficult to control. Believe me, women who are limber, wiry, and small, especially if you're trying not to hurt them, they can give you God's own troubles trying to get them in handcuffs. You've seen those videos. Well, big officers have to struggle to get a relatively small person under control. But it's not easy. I've been in dozens of these situations. I know this to be true. It ain't like in the movies or on TV. It ain't like that. So I'm just saying the size is irrelevant. It is irrelevant. There is no size mismatch exception in the law with regard to self-defense. The question is, was what is done objectively reasonable in light of the circumstances? That is the criteria, and that will be the test.
Okay, now, can I tell you something, Sarge? If I was on that subway, and if I would have seen dude, man, doing that there to a loved one of mine, man, you know, even at this old age and arthritis, man, I would have had to take something to go upside his dome, man. It's for the simple fact is that you got to remember, the coward Penny had an accomplice who helped to murder this man. Is because when this man was trying to grasp for air and he was trying to break the hold of the guy who was up there choking him, the two accomplices who also had prevented him from defending himself. Now, you said that this man that went out there and smashed somebody, man, and gave her a skull fracture and all that. Okay. Now, as you know, Sarge, what they call double jeopardy under the law, that there's a separate incident. I have no comment, you know, on that case right there because, you know, I don't know nothing about it. I haven't seen it. But based on what I saw on Stinky Bird, okay, that he held this man and he kept applying pressure, and the dude, Penny, had an accomplice there who was preventing Mr. Neely from trying to break his hold, okay? Mr. Neely was dehydrated. He was hungry. He had no strength, you know, to go out there and inflict any type of mass punishment on anybody. You see what I mean? Because when you're hungry, you lack strength, okay? So therefore, Sarge, I'm sorry, Sarge. Your argument is going down the toilet right here, Sarge. Okay, now go ahead, Sarge. And then I see we got another caller out of 520. First 3390, if you would like to comment as well, too, please press 1. Same thing with the 707 caller as well, too. What this is, Sarge, is a culling systemically on black men, you know, in the later part, you know, of this, the earlier part of the century. Okay, we got a caller here out of 520 who raised their hand. Okay, 520, okay. What's your name and where you calling from?
Akshita Veda calling out of Tucson, Arizona. What's up? How you doing?
All right, hey, you're doing fine, you? Ma'am. Okay,
what's
doing
going
fine,
on,
Akshita.
Sarge, I hear Sarge on the line, and I came
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we're talking about, you know, the brother that was murdered on the subway in New York City by the Marine Corps dude, a coward by the name of, what's his name again, Penny?
Daniel Penny.
Daniel Penny. And I saw the video, Sister Akshita, it was disgusting, okay, because the man was hungry, so of course he's not feeling right, plus he was dehydrated because he said he had wanted water. He threw his jacket on the floor of the subway, and then, you know, the Marine Corps dude thought that he was protecting the general public, and when you got tons of men sitting up on there, and then you got women on there, and these days women are quite capable of issuing out some punishment as well too. There was no justification in the murder by Mr. Penny on Mr. Jordan or Mr. Neely, Jordan Neely. Yeah, because I've seen the video 3-4 times already, and I can't see it. I can't see it. And then, of course, sister, as you know, the New York Police Department at first refused to charge him with a crime. They took him down there to police headquarters. 10 minutes later, they let him go. So once again, you know, this is a culling on black people and black men in particular. You see what I'm saying? You know, all the way from Leo Castile to Mario Woods in San Francisco to Ezell Ford in Los Angeles to the Rodney King beating, you know, almost 40 years ago. You see what I'm saying? And it's still a throwback on the plantation system. Well, you know, the black male is always seen as a threat as long as he is not ass-scratching Yassabos and what have you. Basically, it's just quote-unquote excuse the expression. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, sister.
I hear you, but then you have to subscribe to those titles. You have to subscribe to those stigmatisms. You have to subscribe to all of those things. So if I just stood in your face and just started calling you Richard, and I'm like, Richard, you hear me talking to you, and you looking at me like, who the hell is Richard? Because that's not my damn name. But if I keep calling you Richard long enough, you're going to be like, why are you calling me Richard? So now you would have assumed that you are Richard because I'm in your face saying Richard. Now you answer to Richard. Now I'm going to handle you like I will handle Richard. You don't know nothing about Richard. You don't know how Richard get handled, how Richard is used to being handled. And if you assume the title of Richard, because I'm calling you that, now you get to get everything I got that you got coming to you because you assume to be Richard.
Okay. All righty.
So
okay, what do you got to say?
You get what I'm saying, though? No?
Okay. All righty.
No,
please enlighten me.
So why?
If somebody was doing that,
why would you continue to remain in that car? You can go to another car. It's not like you can't leave. Like, you can leave from that situation.
Well,
you don't have to be around somebody that continuously keeps calling you out of your name.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. But see, that's where you make the choice. See, you can make the choice to subscribe to it, or you can remove yourself from it because there's no way the person is talking to you. There's no questions that need to be asked. You know it's not you.
Right.
Okay.
So you don't assume that role or that title or anything like that. So if you begin to put yourself in that position to be seen in the light in which you are being thought of, no matter if it's true or not, if you assume the position that is that's being thrown upon you to assume, or that stigmatism that has been put on you, then you subscribe to being treated how that person is stigmatized to be treated, because the stigma is everything bad, and you're agreeing that you are a part of the problem rather than the solution, so they're going to treat you like a problem.
Okay.
Now it looks like some harm has been done, but if you're a farmer and your cattle get out of line, you get your cattle in line.
Okay.
All right.
But Shabaka,
I'm willing to concede that the man might not even have been guilty of a crime, because if he lacks the mental capacity or the mental ability to restrain himself, he cannot be guilty of crime. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying he may not have even been able to be found guilty of a crime due to his mental state. I'm saying that does not change the equation as to whether or not he is an imminent threat. You have the right to defend yourself against an imminent threat, even if the person is insane.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
I'm saying he is insanity. He might have been not guilty by reason of insanity. I will acknowledge
that.
Wait a minute. One more thing. I'm even willing to acknowledge that there may be more evidence that would convince me that Mr. Penny is actually guilty. I haven't seen it yet. I'll be waiting for it. Everything I know thus far indicates, remember, they tried to put Mr. Neely in a recovery position. They raised his legs to increase the blood flow back to his head. They turned him on his side because he had saliva pooling in his mouth. They did everything they could to make sure that if he wasn't dead, and again, they pronounced him dead at the hospital. The ENT said he still had a pulse, heartbeat, and he was breathing when he put him in the ambulance. So it seems to me like they did everything they could reasonably to ensure that he wouldn't die. So I'm still waiting for the evidence, and I'm going to keep waiting for the evidence that they are guilty of second-degree reckless manslaughter. When I see it, I'll change my mind.
Okay, Sarge, based on what I've seen, under California law, if he was in the state of California, okay, what they did that day would have been, man, murder two, okay? It would be murder two, unintentional. But however, they do have in California what they call 5150, okay? And you also have what they call 5150 violent, okay? If the person is 5150 violent, then you could defend yourself in the state of California, okay, up to using lethal force, okay? But if the person is 5150, that's just going off screaming, ranting, and raving, and is not attacking anybody, he could scream and holler all he want to, then that's not an imminent threat, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? That's not an imminent threat. But however, is that the mayor there, and actually, Sarge, I don't have too much faith in any black politicians anymore, particularly with the garbage that I'm hearing coming out of North Carolina, South Carolina. Okay, and then, of course, that vice president of yours, man, who was the district attorney of San Francisco County and the attorney general of California, I don't have no regard, you know, for her whatsoever. But what it is, though, Sarge, is they have stated on another platform, okay, is that this is a culling that they have on us, number one. Number two, man, what it is that they paint all black males as a threat to society. Now, when I see this Asian woman get on the subway using the NGR term, calling every black person on there the N-word and all that. You see, no, man, that's when you got to stand up there and take a stand, man, because, see, the day of the ass scratching, the yassa boss is over. I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? And I'm definitely telling that there to the generations after me. No, 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 no. It's because what are you going to do? Are you going to die on your feet or are you going to live on your knees? And we already have lived on our knees, Sarge. You see, we can't do it no more, man. We owe it to the generations after us, Sarge. You know what I'm saying?
If someone come on the train behaving in the manner that he was, throwing down his jacket, yelling at people and everything else, and he says these words, which people said he repeatedly said. Repeatedly means more than once, more than two or three times.
What did he say?
He said this.
What did he say, sir?
I don't mind going to jail and getting life in prison. I'm ready to die. Now, what do you go to jail for life for? For murder.
Okay.
What do you mean we say I'm ready to die? And remember, you're coupling this with all the other actions, the totality of the circumstances. It's not just one thing.
Sorry.
It's not just two things. It's not just three things. It's not just four things. It's the totality of the circumstances.
Sir.
Plus, you're in a little aluminum tube in the tunnel at the bottom of the city.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, Sarge, hold your thoughts, Sarge. Okay, we got a call here out of 720, first 3819. Your mic is unmuted. What's your name and where are you calling from? And welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience in Hand.
Obviously, the lady J. It's obviously me.
Oh, okay. As you can hear, the debate we have here with Sarge. You see what I'm saying? Now, what do you got to say?
I just want to say something real quick. His brother is Jesse in here?
Jesse's here, but he's got his mic muted. Okay. All right, Lady K, so what's your take on it?
I just want him to go. Hey, Mike Johnson whooped that ass in that debate. All right. That's all I want to say. Go ahead, Shabaka. I actually have something to say about the topic, but I'll wait.
Okay, alrighty, okay. Now, Sister Akshita, now what do you have to say about this man, you know, putting Mr. Fuller, Mr. Neely, you know, in a chokehold, you know, killing him, and keep in mind is that he had an accomplice who aided and abetted Mr. Jordan, you know, trying to break his hold. What's your opinions on that there, Sister Akshita?
Okay. I just watched it, whatever, you know, brief part they had still showing for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw the man strangling him and someone else participating to hold him down in the process
mm-hmm.
of the chokehold. Reading through it, it says that he was being disruptive on the train and, you know what I'm saying, people, bothering people. So what led up to him being choked out and killed by another passenger on that train, I don't think any of us will ever really truly know. But no one has the right to take the life of another person, period. It doesn't matter. If you don't have any self-control, then you don't need to be around people. Now, if what Sarge is saying, that the Marine was saying he ready to do life in prison, he ready to die, he don't care. So now this goes into the other issue of where that Marine was in his mental capacity. So you have two people dealing with mental health issues. You got people dealing with mental health issues. And
mm-hmm.
there's no facilities out here to really cater to the needs that are needed. So people are out here going crazy, buck wild, and things like this are happening. Now, this
mm-hmm.
is not new. It's been happening. Things like this happen in the hood all day, every day. We don't talk about those deaths. How many deaths happen in a certain city on each day?
Right.
But this right here calls
attention
to the world. Because it was a Caucasian man who strangled a melanated man. Who knows what his culture or race is, black, African American, whatever he prescribed to. He was melanated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So nobody knows any of these things, except there was a disturbance and there was an outbreak of two people dealing with mental health issues, and there was nobody professional there to be able to intervene in that situation. And for the people that sat there on the train and allowed that to happen, that means that there was no one qualified in the environment, in the situation, to tame it, to calm it down at all. So the energy had to be going forward, that whatever this Marine did to this man was just due, just dessert. They thought it was fair. The people voted on that in that train.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they agreed. They agreed that he was a problem and he needed to be taken care of, and they took it into their own hands.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. All right, Sarge, your comment.
Is that wrong? I think that's based on perception.
Well, I really appreciate what the caller just said with regard to the 27 other deaths on the subway this year about which we know nothing. People murdered on the subway. We didn't hear anything about any of those 27 dead people until this one thing which Bolshevists can make hay out of. And I think that's a disclaimer, too. But the point of the matter is that, again, I don't know if you saw that video of that black woman who got beaten half to death by a black man on the New York subway. She lost the sight in her right eye when this man beat her unmercifully. I wish Daniel Penny had been there to help her and maybe save her right eye.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. Hold on, Sarge.
Now
let me ask you this here.
It's not that we have too many men willing to step up. We don't have enough, and this is not going to make it better.
This is
Sarge.
True. We spend a lot of time talking about what the problem is, but when it comes time to step up to the plate and do something about it, everybody tucks their tails and run and act like they blind and don't see nothing. So the one that's in need of help doesn't receive the help.
Okay. All righty. Okay,
at
now
the
I want to
be as black and white, and it's so much far beyond that. It's about your heart. It's about your existence and how you living on this planet and how you treat people. Period. No matter what you look like, you either living right or you living wrong.
Okay. Now here's something for you guys. Now this is out of my neck of the woods, Los Angeles, California, about 5 years ago. Off the Santa Monica Freeway, commonly referred to as Interstate 10, which will take you all the way from Santa Monica, California, clear down there to Jacksonville, Florida. There was a case of a black woman, walking on the Santa Monica Freeway who was pulled over by the California Highway Patrol. And this California Highway Patrol officer hit this woman with closed fists. He had knocked her on the ground, straddled her, hit her with closed fists of about 48 times. Now, what would the coward-ass Marine would have done to that CHP officer in the act of doing that? Okay? So this is where I'm kind of like at a crossroads there. Now, Deuce, we have another caller here out of the 470 area code. Okay, press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation. Now, in California, as we all know, Dr. Newton stated, okay, Sarge, I got the book with me down when I wanted to debate, Sarge. Point number 7, okay, what this California Highway Patrol officer did. We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. We believe we could end police brutality in our black community by organizing black self-defense groups that are dedicated to defending our black community from racist police oppression and brutality. The Second Amendment, Sarge, to the Constitution of the United States gives a right to bear arms. We therefore believe that all black people should arm themselves in self-defense. That's point number 7, Sarge, and you know who wrote that. Okay, now what about that California Highway Patrol officer on that one? And I think, too, Sister Akshita, I think that you had saw that video as well, too.
Yeah, I know the video you're referring to. That video was from a few years ago. I saw that video where the highway patrolman straddling the black woman and repeatedly punching and slamming her head in the concrete. Yes, that was an excessive use of force. I'm going to give you that one completely. And remember what I told you earlier, Shabaka. Remember what I told you earlier now. Wait a minute now.
Hold on, Sarge. Sarge. Hold on, Sarge. Now, you and I, we sparring real good here, Sarge. We dead center in the ring. We sparring and trading blows and this, that, there, the other. But my final uppercut, Sarge, I have to ask this question.
We don't have no disagreement on that one, then, right?
Okay. That saw that white highway patrolman beating that woman. Okay, on the side
I'll
of
give
Santa
you that
Monica
one. You're
Freeway.
Right about that one. You're right.
And I know they call them expressways in Chicago. Okay, like the Dan Ryan Expressway and what have you.
Yeah.
Okay, but so therefore, if somebody with a like-minded set of what Dr. Newton had at that time and came up there and put a cap in the dome of that highway patrol officer that was beating that woman like that, he would have been justified. Is that what you're telling me, Sarge? That's what you agree with?
Now we're getting to another separate issue here. Now, as I told you earlier, well, I'm going to ask a question. I'm not going to duck it because it's an important question. I told you, I believe everyone's right to self-defense is inalienable, no matter how bad you are or how terrible you are. Adolf Hitler, okay, sitting in his jail cell, and would have a right to defend awaiting execution, would have had the right to defend himself against an unlawful attack from a jailer who thought he deserved to die right then, right there. It's enabling. Everyone has the right to self-defense. Everybody. And that would include someone being brutalized by a highway patrolman. However, here is the thing, and this is also something you got to be aware of when you consider whether or not you can exercise that right against a police officer. Because there is a presumption that the officer is justified in using force to effect an arrest against a resisting suspect. Now, that doesn't mean that what he's doing is legal, correct, moral, or ethical, or anything else. It means the presumption is there. So you got to present the evidence that it was necessary for you to use force to defend yourself against this police officer's unlawful attack.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you understand why it's a bit problematic, don't you?
Well, because he supposedly got the law, the judge, the district attorney.
It's a presumption. It's a legal presumption.
Okay. But like I said, Sarge, he's got the judge, the district attorney, the chief executive of the state and or municipality, commonly referred to as the mayor or the governor, okay, on his side. You see what I mean? And this is what Dr. Newton, you know, was pointing out, man, over 50 years ago there in West Oakland, California. You see, when they was exercising a Second Amendment right to prevent police brutality. Now, that senile bastard by the name of Ronald Reagan, who was the governor of California at the time, he signed into law the Mulford Act, which was introduced into the California state legislature by a coward out of Piedmont, California, by the name of Mulford. And keep in mind, Piedmont, California is a rich area right next to Oakland, kind of like Beverly Hills is to Los Angeles. You see what I mean? Okay. And so Reagan gets up there with his Grecian formula and crazy glue special effects from his days in Hollywood, gets up there and says, there's no reason why somebody should be walking down the street with a loaded gun. There's no reason why nobody should be walking down the street with a loaded gun when the Second Amendment clearly states that the right to bear arms is inalienable and it is not to be infringed. So your 40th president violated the Constitution when he signed it into law. You see, but what it is, as Professor Black Tooth said, is that there is a bounty on black men. You see what I'm saying? And the reason why they have the bounty on black men, because they don't want to get the brothers upset on a collective basis. Okay, there was a guy who was heavyweight champ, you see what I'm saying, that sacrificed his prime years because of his stance on a war in Vietnam. And then you had a lot of those of the Caucasian persuasion call that man a coward because he didn't want to go to Vietnam. And my response to that is, well, you get off in a ring with him, I bet you he'll make a coward out of you before you make it out of him. You see what I mean? Okay.
So my point is this. Okay, when you have these double standards in place, okay, what's to be done about it, Sarge?
Hello?
Hello?
What was the question?
Okay, the question is, Sarge, when you have these double standards in place, okay, what is to be done about it? Okay, you know.
So I did not agree with what Ronald Reagan did with regard to changing that law. Well, I don't agree with it. It's an infringement. And, you know, I'm an absolutist when it comes to the Second Amendment. Absolutist.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put any reservations whatsoever in its application is used. I have the exact same understanding that the framers of the Constitution had when they wrote it. So I'm against what Reagan did. However, it was done as a response to what the Panthers did when they paraded through the Capitol with the weapon. It wasn't right. I didn't agree with it. But again, the Panthers were not prosecuted because it wasn't illegal when they did it. They weren't prosecuted. You can't make an ex post facto law. So they didn't.
Okay,
but they said in the future, anybody who does it can be prosecuted. That's the distinction.
Okay. Okay, so now let me ask you a question here, Sarge. Okay, so how should the Black Panthers handle that situation when they went into the state capital of California May 2nd, 1967? How should they have handled that?
Well, it seems to me as if they handled it the only way they could have. They still had the right to do what they did. They did it. They didn't brandish their weapons in a menacing manner. They didn't point them at anyone. They were very careful to have them elevated up above so no one could say they were brandishing it in a threatening manner. And they didn't shoot at anyone, so therefore they violated the law. They did it exactly the way they were legally allowed to do until they changed the law. So what they did was what they should have done, I guess, given their point of view.
Well, you know why they did that, right? Do you know why they did that, Sarge? Sarge? Oh, Sarge.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they were protesting the proposed bill. Amazon, I mean, they were protesting the proposed bill to change the law. I think that's what the reason they did it, right?
Okay. No, sir. What happened was is that there was a man by the name of Denzel Dowd who was murdered by the Contra Costa County Sheriff. And Contra Costa County is the next county going northbound of Alameda County, you know, on the eastern side of Frisco Bay. CO and the BP went to the Contra Costa County Sheriff and said that, you know, our man was murdered right here because his hands was up when he was shot, so he didn't propose no threat. So the sheriff of Contra Costa County had told CO and the party, you know, members who were with him, said that if you got a problem with the laws in the state of California, don't take it up with me because his job is to enforce the laws, and the laws are created by the state legislature. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with the state legislature. So that's exactly what they did. And then what had happened was this caught the attention of an individual who had violated more laws under federal laws than the laws allow. That was J. Edgar Hoover. And he declared him public enemy number one and stated that the mere organization of Negroes is a threat to national security. Okay, and as Professor Black Truth said, that they're going to do their best to criminalize, you know, Mr. Neely in the press. They're going to do their best to say that the organizational black men period is a threat to white people, which is not the case. Okay, so then they put $2 million, you know, for the Marine, just like they did for Darren Wilson, who shot and killed Mike Brown. They see, so there's your bounty right there. See, what it is, Sarge, is that when they do this here with social media, okay, although they shadow ban me, okay, but when they do this with social media, when they show whites killing black people, just like what Darren Wilson did, it is nothing more, Sarge, of where they would take the black man and buck break him on a plantation system in the presence of his wife, mother, All that is dear to him, his son, his children, to set the example to the black male. Whatever you was done to you, whatever how we kill you, castrate you, violate your woman on the plantation system, always mind your temper, boy. That is the American ethos when it comes to black men. And anyone is welcome to give us a call here in our last 20 minutes right here at area code 516-418-5996. And please be sure to add the phone number to your cell phone plan so you will not be charged for the call to call in and debate with us on this. We have 25 minutes left in the show. Okay,
yeah.
We got the one and only Sarge with us. Also, too, we had a couple of callers that called in and they hung up, okay? And thank you so very, very much for coming. We definitely have Akshita Veda with us, you know, very, very knowledgeable sister, you know, who's been calling in with us for quite a few number of years. Okay, Sarge, I'm going to give you the floor, then we're going to go to Sister Akshita. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I do not believe that support for Daniel Petty has anything to do with bounty on black men. I do not believe it at all. I believe that support for Daniel Petty, Daniel Penny, is inspired by this anarcho tyranny that district attorneys like Fat Alvin Bragg, like Kim Gardner in St. Louis, like Kim Fox in Cook County, like George Gascone in Los Angeles, and like Larry Krasner in Philadelphia are inflicting on their population by not enforcing the law, by not taking out the maximum allowable under the law for prosecution when it comes to repeat felony violent offenders. And then when we dare to defend ourselves against the tide of violent criminals, they unleash on us back in the streets like they did with Jose Alba, the guy in the bodega in New York City, like the other black African immigrant parking lot attendant who was shot by an armed robber in the parking lot, who was able to wrestle the gun away from the offender after he was shot and killed him with it, and then Fat Alvin Bragg had the nerve to charge this African immigrant with a crime. And we got the McCluskeys in St. Louis when they had a mob knock down their gates and come on to the property and threaten to rape his wife, and when they took their guns out and were there to defend themselves, Kim Gardner in St. Louis tried to prosecute them. We've got this guy, Daniel Perry, down in Texas, who had an AK-47 pointed at him, shot the offender, and now he's facing 25 years on his joint, and Greg Abbott says he's going to pardon him. This is what you call anarcho-tyranny. And I think people now are sick of it, and their support for Daniel Penny is reflected in his $2 million and got nothing whatsoever, I do not believe, to do with any bounty on black men.
Sarge, they've been putting a bounty on black men since the day that we were brought here. Okay, you know it and I know it.
I don't believe that's true in this case at all. I don't believe it at all.
No, I know it's true. I know it. I know it's true, Sarge. But Sarge, you're Sarge, man. You know, that's your signature. At least you and I disagree agreeably. Is because, well, the simple fact is this, okay, with me getting up in age now, I'm wondering if I'm going to be the next target. You see what I'm saying? I'm wondering, man, if there's some gung-ho white police officer, you know, who will pull me over and say, well, look, we got an NGR here. Well, you know, this bastard's old anyway. Let me go on here and kill him. You see what I mean? Okay. But however, is that, but however, you know, but you got these white folks who are definitely banding together. They always have been, just like the punk by the name of the Panties, the governor of Florida. I don't recognize you as a man, the Panties. I think you're a punk, okay? Dump. You're just insane, okay? You're the dump, okay? You're insane, okay? But when you sit up there and you have an elected official sit up here trying to push this narrative that black people do not have a right to know the true history of how they were brutalized, degraded, castrated, raped, violated, dehumanized. You see what I'm saying? Something is wrong with that. Okay. And
you're
the Santee says,
let me finish,
Sarge, and then I'm gonna go on there and open it up. But then when DeSantis says, well, this here makes white people feel uncomfortable because of the horrors of slavery down in his state, all through Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, West Virginia, even up in New York State at one time, and I don't think Illinois was a state at that time in the 1700s, Arch, okay?
No, it wasn't.
What about how I feel uncomfortable, Sarge, when I'm stopped by a white police officer? You see what I'm saying? Who says, oh, yeah, well, let me just go on and kill this black son of a bitch, you know what I'm saying, because I ain't got nothing else better to do. But keep in mind, like the California... Okay, hold on, Sarge. Now we got to get it. Hold on, Sarge. Sarge, let me say these two more sentences, and I will relinquish the mic to you. Okay, like that California Highway Patrol officer that beat that woman. Okay, just like what Derek Chauvin did to George Floyd. Just like what this Marine did, you know, to Mr. Neely on the subway. See, you get these sick-minded individuals, okay, who gets some type of gratification from this, okay? It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be sexual. You see what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about, Sarge. Now, how do black men on the collective defend the black woman from this? And keep in mind, the black woman is quite capable of defending herself. But however, what they did with the black male systemically through the plantation system has literally, excuse the expression, clipped his nuts off. You see, they did it physically, okay, they did it mentally, and they did it emotionally. This is why out there in that cesspool called Los Angeles, California, you got these individuals up here wearing woman's clothes talking about he's a woman. And this fool cannot menstruate, he cannot ovulate, he cannot bear children. So that's what I think what the crux of it is, Sarge, is that the United States, in its ethos, when it comes to white people, in regard to black people, I do believe they get some type of sexual gratification of killing us. Look at that tramp, Carolyn Bryant, who lied on Emmett Till, Sarge. Now, you out of Chicago, Sarge. I know damn well you know who Emmett Till is. Oh, what?
I tell you, man, they used to caution me about when I went to visit my relatives in 1964 about this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Emmett Till was still fresh about how not to behave
mm-hmm.
when I was down there, being from Chicago, and don't be fresh with any
right.
white woman. My relatives would caution me with the memory of Emmett Till still fresh in their minds.
Okay, now let me ask
you
this.
I
do
got
something
about Emmett Till. I got all the warnings about Emmett Till.
Okay,
but here's the thing,
though,
man. You have to remind me one time to tell you about when I got arrested for defending myself down here in Georgia in 2013.
Okay. Now I know they let you go, Sarge. And now all you had to do was flash your
tan,
Sarge.
I'm
going to
tell you when you got time. I'll tell you about it.
Okay, Sergeant, I knew you flashed 10, Sarge, you know, and they went on and let you go.
No, I didn't flash 10 until they got me in the jailhouse. But then they already before the charge.
Okay. So when they ran you through the computer, Sarge, no ID numbers came up on you, man, of your previous service there working for the great state of Illinois.
No,
that's
they had something
me,
on me, but, you know, I had my gun on me. I said, well, I told the cops, well, the guy's lucky I didn't shoot him. I had him a gun.
Uh-huh.
I just hit him with his napkin holder. I got my gun. I didn't shoot him. He took my gun because I had a law enforcement officer safety permit, law enforcement officer safety act permit, which gives as good in all 50 states of the union if you're a retired police officer. You must do that federal law they pass. And so you knew I was a cop.
Yes, Sarge, they'll give it to you in Los Angeles, you know, because the Los Angeles Police Department is a murdering, terrorist, organization.
Anybody who works for a certified law enforcement agency that served at least, I think that the time I had it was you had to work for at least 7 years or been retired honorably from the agency. That was a ruling. And anybody who met those criteria could apply for a Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act that's good in all 50 states in the union.
The thing of it is, though,
by the time he found that out, he had already preferred the charges against me. And I said, okay, man, if that's what you feel about this, go with it. Just bring it on through. It cost me $3,500, $4,000 to get the case dismissed before it even went to trial. Because the judge took a look at my lawyers, had to get depositions and file pretrial motions to get the charges of aggravated battery against me dismissed. And he was quite successful in doing so.
I see. Aggravated battery. So which means, Sarge, you must have been putting some work in on it, man, for it to be aggravated battery.
Wait a minute. You know those stainless steel napkin holders?
Yes,
they got the flap. You know, the napkin got the flap. Well, I took an empty one, and I grabbed it. You know, the flap, you got a nice handhold on it. You get your hand in there, and you can wield it like it's a big brass knuckle. And that's what I hit with and opened his head up.
And he told me,
well, you had the right to defend yourself, but you went too far. I said, man, I got Mr. 9mm on my hip here. I didn't shoot him, did I? So I could have shot him as far as I'm concerned. But he decided to hit me anyway. By the way, the guy I had to hit was a black man.
Okay, Sarge.
The right cop. The right cop. And as a black man, I didn't hit. Black man, stupid, drunk, acting a damn fool, thinking I'm looking at his woman. He's high on crystal meth and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he wouldn't let me out the restaurant.
Yeah, had to do it.
And that's how I got jacked up and had to wind up on $4,000 to get out some nonsensical charge.
Okay. All righty. Okay. What do you have to say about that there, Sister Akshita?
Well, I would like to say this. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Everything that you just mentioned on this call is caused to impel we the people to move forward. So we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men / and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed. So basically, let me keep on, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, which we have discussed and we know this for a fact, there's evidence and documents on file, argument to support the destructiveness of this government. It has the right, or it is the right of the people, we the people, to alter, change, or to abolish, get rid of, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Okay, now if you've read the Declaration of Independence, you know it goes on further than that. But I want to say this.
Yes, ma'am.
The Empire of Nubia is we the people, the unity of masculine and feminine energy, moving forward in love on the principles of love, truth, freedom, and justice. Before I go any further, I want to give honor and thanks to Mad Dr. D for the show and for Chewbacca for continuing on in his name and good faith, and also to Mandelicon Davis, the chosen son of the matriarch who initiated and indoctrinated me into this communication. And I want to remind you of who I am. I am Akshita Veda L. Christina, the chosen daughter of the matriarch, chosen woman, the chairwoman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the matriarch. And I'm still grinding with boots on ground, doing the work on behalf of we the people. And the message still remains that we the people must call the exigency of Class Action 567, which is to unify and organize on behalf of the people. So we are the ones to call the state of emergency. So if we know that we are in a state of emergency, we need to stop arguing, stop debating. We know what the problem is. Get beyond the problem and let's get to the solution. The solution is Class Action 567, the Bloodless Revolution. So the Bloodless Revolution is the revolution of we the people. So if we come together and move in our diplomatic sovereignty and stop taking on the titles in which was given by a system that was created to keep us in a casting system to create boundaries around our mind, then we won't ever see outside of the box that was created for that mindset. So we have to get into a new mindset, which is deprogramming from the old way and reprogramming into the new way, which is to move in love. If we're moving in love, there's nothing to discuss. We know that we're here for love. And if we're doing it for our children, everybody should have the same thing on their mind. And everybody is not like that. You have pedophilia out here. You have things that happen that you know, put children in bad places, or women in bad places, even men in bad situations. So you don't separate from that. There's a separation that has to come. So once you create that separation and the boundary, it's understood and that it is protected from the inside. And if we don't ever create those boundaries, we don't have anything to lean on. So the Empire of Nubia has come together, and the crown king of the Empire of Nubia is in Canada right now, currently detained against his will. We have people in Kenya who are suffering through the hardship of the weather and the economy over there going through things. We have sisters in Australia who are on board and with the knowledge and information of growth and development. And, of course, sporadically around, but the Empire of Nubia covers Canada and all the North America's Aldebaran, Kush, and all the islands in between. Everything. If we recognize where we are on Turtle Island, we take our position back in place where we're supposed to be, and we're all shades. It's a matter of whether you're willing to live a righteous life or not. If you're not willing to live a righteous life, you can't come in, period. Just like the order of Ma'at, balance, that's what we represent.
Right.
So being in order of balance, which is the male and the feminine, the masculine and the feminine principles being in balance with one another, then that's when we can move forward, because we're teaching our offspring, our progeny, our legacy, teaching them a new way. And in order to teach them in that new way, for it to be seen, it has to, an example has to be set where it's seen across the board of how to be righteous, how to live righteous. And if you're not living that way, then we don't have anything to talk about, because what are we talking about? So if it ain't got nothing to do with growth and development, why are we putting energy into it? Because things are going to happen. People at Walmart can't control the environment in Target because Walmart operates a certain way. They can't control how Target operates. It's two different entities. We must separate ourselves from the entity which does not represent who we are.
Okay.
But we have to first know who we are, because if we don't know who we are, we're constantly being told who we are rather than telling who we are or showing who we are. There's no unity. So if we create our own central hub, our own headquarters, where we begin to put in and do things and actually get real support, there's people out there with money that think like us. That think about, you know what I'm saying, unity and organization, that's only looking for an opportunity and a good investment to help grow. But it has to make sense. And it can't be off of hate. It must be based on love. So that's all I got to say.
Okay,
sister, I just like you to know that Joe Gibson remembered you and talked about you tonight, and he'd like you to call in if you would dare to.
He wants you to call
into his show if you would like to.
Yeah, I would love to be on Joe's show. Of course, I started there.
Well, he mentioned you tonight, and he was wondering what had happened to you, and I think he'd look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, that would be so awesome. Of course. I'll get in touch with him.
Okay. Okay, Sergeant, I know he always had a few choice words about me, but we got a caller here out of area code 301. You know, the last two is 7-4. Okay, I think I know who that is. Just press 1, brother, and we'd be more than happy, you know, to key you in because we're down to our last 3 minutes. Okay, all righty. Okay, all right. And, okay, 301. Okay. Hey, what's going on? I think I know who this is.
Yes, sir. National Minister of Defense, Black Lightning. New Black Panther Party on the Shakti Mama Akbar. How's everybody doing tonight, Black Power?
Okay, we're doing fine. Yeah, Imam, you know what I'm saying? We're just winding down. And we was talking about the case in regard to what was happening there in New York City, you know, when Mr. Neely was murdered, you know, by this guy, Penny, the Marine Corps veteran. So we had Sarge on here, and, you know, we was on fire with Sarge. You know what I'm saying? He's still here. We're down to our last 3 minutes. Me personally, I'm of the opinion of what that Marine did to Mr. Neely, who, in my opinion, was murder in the first degree. It was a hate crime, in my opinion. But, however, you know, let's see, you know, with how the courts are going to do with it. But, however, I did appreciate the people of New York are shutting down the L-Train system until that dude was arrested and charged with the crime.
And we do plan on having patrols. We plan on having patrols on the trains, so as a deterrent for that, to be on the actual trains, not just the platforms, moving about through the trains. We got walkie-talkies. We got enough people, so we'll be making a presence so they know that you're not going to just do that idly by again. Never.
Yes, sir. Right. And then not to mention the fact that I saw.
One other thing, if you don't mind, we can use some help on funds, on us getting everything there. If you could put the Cash App on there, on the audience for me. That'd be greatly appreciated if you don't mind. Okay,
yes,
well, that's dollar sign. Zion Gate. Zion Gate 1. And that's with a capital Z. ION.
Yes, sir.
Gate. GATE. Number 1. Because I recently lost my vehicle to a deer on the way to another mission. So all the work we're going to be doing in New York, any funds would be greatly appreciated to make sure we got enough gas and food to get everybody where we need to be at.
Yes, sir. And then also, too, okay, go to my like page of for our platform called Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced, and mm-hmm. and please feel free to post any and all information up there that's necessary to
and
accomplish
as you know, we
that.
Have the Black Power Radio
oh, absolutely.
Sunday and Monday. And that's Sunday and Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and that's 515-605-9889. And to help out Black Power Radio, $77 Bakers. And we appreciate everybody's help and support.
Sir. And then also, too, we need help here. Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Mr. Akbar, and I will shoot you there, man, you know, the link, you know, to help us as well, too, is because we're expanding. We want to get the word out there. You know, there's a lot of work, you know, that needs to be done this summer. Okay,
yes,
and please don't nobody hang up.
Definitely putting in a lot of advertisement for you on my side.
Oh, yes. Okay,
and,
appreciate
and get better
that.
At
yeah.
that, too, you know. But definitely
absolutely.
We have to make a statement for the brother that got killed on the subway, and not only him, all the others that are popping up, like the 12-year-old in Ohio, and and even don't want to forget about the brother who was walking, he was jogging in Norman, Oklahoma, and the guy mm-hmm. cut him off, and then he confronted him about it, and the guy shot him. And while they were having Parents Week, and he got away with it, called it Hold Your Ground Law, and the man had no weapon, and he just confronted him about almost running him over with a car. So the more presence we show out here, collective solidarity, the better. You know, that's why
we
come on your show, you make our Black Power Radio better, and hopefully, the people will hear and, respond to us all because we all doing the work, boots on the ground. We definitely, like even the reparations committee getting it in down in Oakland with Sister Truth Bay down there,
sir.
You know. So
And I tried to call in there too, and they didn't accept my call, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the great state of California.
Okay.
When I called in, man, they said, "Well, we're gonna have this one last call," and that's it. And it was the guy before me, man. You know what I mean? And I was gonna let him have it as well too. And then I want to say this here too, in regard to the California reparations. It's like this: hey, I lived in that state, you know, all my life. I've been subjugated, you know, to your policeman misconduct. I have been discriminated against in jobs, employment, public transportation. Also, too, I paid off into that state tax bracket as well, too. And then also, too, I've been stopped and, and highly disrespected by your police agencies from Oakland, Stockton, Los Angeles, Barstow, San Diego, and of course San Francisco. You see, but particularly there in Los Angeles. And I'm of the opinion, and Sarge, you know, I'm quite sure he's going to push. I think Sarge dropped off. Yeah, he did. But Sarge was going to disagree with me on that there. Brother Akbar, you know, he always does. So I'm all for the reparations, but also, too, the instability of the American.
Black Lightning, under Sheikh Imam Akbar. National Minister of Defense, Black Lightning. But we are under the National Minister of Defense. The National Chairman, Imam Akbar. But no, this is Black Lightning, National Minister, the MOD.
Okay,
the MOD,
okay.
Man,
all right. Yes,
one you're thinking it was our national chairman, that's all.
Yeah, okay. And so, therefore, too, is that I appreciated Elaine Brown for showing up there, you know, that I saw at Mills College, which is right over there, folks, off of MacArthur and Seminary.
She was sitting right next to Tuesday, talking to her.
Okay. Okay, yeah, and I met Elaine Brown. I met Kathleen Cleaver. I met Dr. Erica Huggins, you know what I'm saying, up there in Panther Town, as they call it, you know, over the years. I say that again, Dynamite.
You got to get up there in person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have to go back there because I lived quite a few years up there in Oakland and saw how it was blighted, and then, of course, too.
June 19th, I think, or June 9th, when is it? I'm sure Sister Truth Bacon put you on with that.
But
what about calling the governor, Gavin Newsom?
Oh, yeah, because I'm saying that Newsom is going two ways on this issue, because I'm saying that he says he wants to consider it. Then I'm also seeing that where Gruesome Newsom had stated that he was flatly against it. And then, of course, you know, he's got like-minded individuals down in there, like that lieutenant governor of North Carolina. And then, of course, you got your warlocks and Hershey bars and stuff like that. And those guys are dangerous, man. You know, straight out. They're dangerous. It's because if we all decided, you know, to get up off this plantation and leave on the Underground Railroad, and Sister Harriet Tubman, there. See, these would be the first fools to go up there, man, and think us out. You know it, I know it, and they know it.
They're
you
going
see
down
what I'm
with
saying?
The ship.
Yeah, and then, and I don't know if you heard, you know, our great guest commentator, Sister Akshita, you know, who's been coming on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, you know, for the last few years now, you know, very, very heavy sister, you know, has a lot of knowledge, you know, and very well-educated sister, you know what I'm saying, very respectful sister as well, too. But what it is, Black family, I'm going to say this here, we're in overtime, okay, is that we are in a state of emergency. And it's up to us to take care of us. We ain't got no choice. So, therefore, we got to look at all avenues, you know what I mean? And even Sarge, you know, although he fell off, you know what I'm saying? Even Sarge, you know, and he put his work in tonight, Dynamite, as he usually does, you know what I'm saying?
He thought the national chairman was on.
yeah, you know, Sarge is Sarge.
You know
it was
just me.
Saying?
You know it was just me. He probably be back.
Too late now. Yes, sir. But Dr. Truth Bay, yeah, most definitely, you know, the utmost respect for that sister is because, you know, she did address the reparations commissions in California. And one thing I will say about this is.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I do want to call in, too, because for one, it was 40 acres and two mules. That was General Sherman's Field Order 15
right.
that he told 10 of the black leaders at that time, and then it goes to H.R. 40, which was nothing but them playing around. So basically, since our ancestors worked for free, we should not have to pay taxes. A lot of people talking about like maybe $5,000 to $10,000 a month for the rest of your life. I don't think that's enough. Katrina victims got $10.5 million. So, and that was just for Katrina. So I figure, go ahead and spread that around to the other states. And I'm looking at $120 million. And the budget for California is $223 billion. Yeah, $223 billion. So out of that $223 billion, I'm sure Gavin Newsom can go ahead and cut the check for that. For that that would be $120 million. Because I'm just looking at $50 million for each state.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you really want to cut it down, I mean, break it down, we really got to go to all the states. And what we have 50 million black people in America, so we should have 50 million black people on the mall for a reparations march that we're going to try to have. And that'll be announced on Black Power Radio Sunday, Monday, 301. I almost gave mine. 515-605-9889 on that. But we're going to have a big march for all 50 million people. And it should be more, I'm thinking. But at least to get the ball rolling, my number I'm coming up with is 120 million. And that's where I'm going to land on Black Power.
All right, Brother Dynamite, man, it's always a pleasure, man, you know what I'm saying, and definitely give my regards over there, you know, to Black Power Radio, man. They have a dynamic show, comes on every Sunday and Monday, you know, 5 p.m., you know, in the Pacific time zone, 8 p.m. in the East. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so this here concludes this episode of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and the air date of this episode was May 16th, 2023. Definitely sign up for Blog Talk Radio, develop a profile, follow us. You can check us out on our like page on Facebook. That is, if they don't tear me down again, at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And then you can follow my personal page of Shabaka Sankore, okay, and Shabaka, S-H-A-B-A-K-A, Sankore, the last name, S-A-N-K-O-R-E, named after the University of Sankore in Timbuktu, which is perhaps one of the world's most ancient universities, if not the most ancient university. So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out, if I could find it, in this track here, because we're going to be redoing the music track as well too, and we appreciate all our supporters, we appreciate all our critics, you know what I'm saying, still sharp and steel, you know, you don't have to agree with us, or totally agree with us, you could disagree with us, but here, everybody will be treated with respect here at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And also, too, definitely to the shout-out of the memory of Mad Dr. D. Without him, this platform would not have been possible. And we're going to go out with Ship Ahoy by the OJs. And for those of you who were born after 1973 when this record came out, definitely listen to it.
Black
tell
power.
The story. Always.
Black power.
Always. The song speaks for itself.
women and baby slaves coming to the land of liberty, where life's design is already made. So young and so strong, they're just waiting to be saved. Oh, I'm so dying, and I know you're dying too. The folks of Rising, see the sun shining down on you.
Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy.
With death, with death, with death.